Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
The owners of Churchill Gowns entered the Dragon's Den last night on BBC Two. They're part of the Cambridge Social Ventures Startup Programme and also alumni of Cambridge University. Ruth Nichols is here. Good morning, Ruth.
Morning,
Good
Julian.
Morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. I didn't realise until I saw Dragon's Den last night that the firm just off of the Market Square, which has the Cambridge gown market stitched up, literally and figuratively, it's not just Cambridge. They really supply gowns for most universities across the UK. This is one heck of a market to want to break into.
Yeah, they, I guess in the last 50 years or so, they've kind of bought up a lot of the small road makers that you would have had in each university town. So now at this point, they probably serve about 80% of the universities.
That's quite a few. And I noticed I was chatting with a friend of mine last night, if you go on a particular university website, you'll see the recommendation to use this Cambridge firm.
Yes, so the universities, the way it kind of works at the moment is that universities will choose a kind of exclusive supplier and then try and direct all their students to order from that one supplier. And that's the kind of market that we're trying to disrupt at the moment.
Because this feels a little bit like school uniforms, doesn't it? And we're probably heading for that annual story of
Indeed.
Parents being forced into particular school uniforms from a particular supplier with, and I guess these days a lot of the kids are wearing sweatshirts and they need to have the logo on, and it's that I can see the parallels between the two sides of the market.
Yeah, the school uniform example is an interesting one actually, because the competition regulator in the UK actually intervened in that market and said, you know, schools shouldn't dictate to parents where students have to get their uniforms from. So we kind of took that as a precedent as well to the competition regulator, but they said that this market was too small for them to intervene, unfortunately.
Oh dear.
So tell us a little bit about your gowns in particular. Like, what's particularly special about them?
So I guess what makes us stand out to students is that our gowns are made out of recycled plastic. So pretty much all graduation gowns will be made from, these days, made from polyester. Mm. And it's just where
That's very disappointing in itself, actually.
Well, you can get a kind of very fine wool one, but you'll definitely pay the price for it. So if you're going to wear it for a couple of hours, it's probably not worth it. Mm. But we get the polyester from recycled plastic.
Right.
So kind of more sustainable as well. Each gown that we make turns the equivalent of 28 plastic water bottles into a gown.
And am I right in thinking it's all in the hood, whereas like the gowns are pretty much uniform wherever you go, but the colours of the hood represent things like, I guess, band maybe, better description than hood even here, that represents the college or the university or the course, and they're detachable, so you can swap them about a bit.
Well, we're getting into some real gown geekery now, but there's
this is Cambridge. It's absolutely fine.
Gowns.
French songs, gown geekery, that's us.
Yeah, there's probably kind of maybe five or six styles of gown that are used by the majority of universities. So we kind of make those gowns, and then, as you said, it's the hood that represents which university you went to, whether you're a bachelor's student or a master's student, sometimes even, you know, which course you did. So those are the bits that we have to kind of tailor specifically for different universities.
I was just going to say, so you got the idea, and on top of the idea, you thought, we're going to use, you know, old plastic bottles to also with the material and everything. How long was it that you afterwards that you started thinking, oh, the next thing we need to do is let's give it a go on Dragon's Den? Like,
well, we had raised some initial investment to start the business, and we did kind of consider applying to Dragon's Den, actually. I think we got as far as sort of downloading the application form, and then they actually approached us.
They approached you.
Yeah, to ask if we'd be interested in auditioning. So we thought, well, this has kind of fallen into our lap. We'd be crazy to say no. So we went to the audition and then kind of got the phone call.
How interesting. How did they know about you to contact you?
It's a mystery.
There's good researchers out there.
Some good researchers, yeah. Maybe some gown geeks.
Well,
on the team.
The other thing about the business model, which I guess I should have twigged, but obviously, most people tend to only graduate once possibly twice.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, I remember the first time I needed the dinner jacket. First time I needed the dinner jacket, I hired one. And then within the space of a year, I needed a dinner jacket again. And I looked at the cost and it became apparent that for, at least for a basic one, as a boy journalist, a 2.5 times the cost, you can buy one. And obviously after that,
yeah,
you're there. But with something like a university gown, you've got to have a whole load of them on standby, all needed at the same time, or near enough anyway, with these collections of hoods to signify the course on.
Yeah, the seasonality is obviously a bit of a challenge because kind of June and July is when most ceremonies happen, but it's actually more spread out than a lot of people realise.
Right.
So we've got, I think, 13 universities graduating between now and December that we have stock for. So there is some kind of business that we do all year round, but yeah, July is definitely our busiest period.
Yeah. Well, was that easy to explain the concept to the dragons?
It was interesting because actually I think the new dragon, Sarah, is the only one who's actually been to university.
That's amazing. And she's the one who does the... She's a crafty woman who does home shopping stuff.
And she actually started her business when she was at university as well.
Wow.
She didn't make us an offer in the end, but her questioning was really interesting actually because she'd kind of done the whole graduation thing.
Mm.
And her questions were quite good. They sort of teased out our kind of selling points, I suppose, because she was kind of thinking from the perspective of, well, I just went in with all my mates and we just picked it up on the day. Why wouldn't everyone do that? So that kind of gave us a good opportunity to explain that, you know, our gowns, you get to keep them for longer and you know, you can get those extra photos, all important Instagrams on the days before and after, and lots of... people actually buy our gowns as well rather than rent them, especially international students.
But why do they do that? They like this little piece of England, do they? Take home with them?
Well, I suppose. And often if their family can't all come over for their graduation ceremony, then they're not going to get those photos with the whole family unless they buy the gown. So our gowns are kind of much more affordable to buy, £79, as opposed to kind of £270. So.
And is that just because of the difference of the material, or is...
So I guess the kind of cost difference is probably down to the fact that, for one, the traditional suppliers kind of have this arrangement with the university, which means that up until now, there hasn't really been any competition.
Right.
So it was kind of up to them to set the prices. Mm-hmm. And they also don't really want to sell the stock. I mean, their whole business model is set up around hiring it. So if they sell it, then they've got to kind of procure more and hire it. They can hire it out a load of times, then that's better business for them. So so that's kind of why they charge this really high price. Mm. But, you know, we've actually seen that there is loads of demand for students wanting to buy it. So,
So I have to say, when I watched the show last night, had me going for a while. I was thinking to myself, they've got in touch. We've got this interview going for the morning and they're not going to get the money. Did you think that too? When you were,
they like to build the suspense.
I know,
they?
When you were standing there. How long? Because we just get to see 10 minutes or so of you. How long was the filming?
So I think we were in there for about an hour and a half overall. So it was a good grilling that
we
got.
Oh my goodness.
But I think we could tell... which of the dragons were interested from the beginning.
Right.
So,
and had you set a dragon, you thought, I want that one. That one. I want to invest in my business.
Interestingly, we... because Tuca works in kind of suit business and textile manufacturing, we thought there was quite a good kind of synergy there.
Mm.
But then we really liked the way that Deborah was talking in the den, saying, you know, you've got to... She likes disrupting an industry and got to be pretty ballsy to disrupt this industry. So we thought she had the right attitude, really. But we could tell from the beginning that her and Tuca were the ones that were really interested.
And you had some Australian investors, apparently, as well, which for a moment thought, oh, dear, cause that's going to scupper that deal. How did they take to the offer? Well, I guess the question is, are they still your Australian investors?
Still are in Australia. Yeah, no, they're still on board. I think they've seen that the great potential that obviously having a dragon on board can bring, both in terms of kind of opening doors for the business, the investment, the publicity that she'll kind of bring behind the brand. So they were pretty pleased for us, really.
So it was filmed, you were saying, back in June.
Yes.
So not really like that long ago at all.
No.
Have you had much dealing with Deborah since she signed up?
Yeah, it's funny. You go in and you never really know kind of how hands-on your dragon's going to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've chatted to her a few times. We met up with her in London for a quick photo shoot as well. she was actually about to present an award at the, I think it was like the National Cat Awards or something.
Oh, excellent.
So we got to meet her at the Savoy for this this photo shoot, and we thought, this is our lives now. Meetings at the Savoy. We've made it.
You've made it, yeah.
Now, I noticed you did bring a bag in with you. Does that bag have gowns in by any chance?
It does.
Ah, well, I think we probably better do some travel and other stuff at this point. But if we can hang on for a moment, because maybe after we've done travel malarkey, we could maybe dress up in the things, and we could we could see, just, you know, just feel the quality.
Of
you
course,
know?
Yeah, I love it. Excuse kind of the to idea. Dress up.
It is now. We should thank our guest as well. I really should do at this point. We've Nichols from Churchill Gowns. Thank you, Phil. Was it Churchill College you went to, or was that just a nice name?
No, just a nice name.
Oh.
I was actually at St John's.
Okay.
We should have gone for St John's Gowns.
Obviously.
Maybe. No, possibly. My God, it's some sort of spin-off on that. It is 8:21. So that means it's been a year of doing these little outros of ours.
Mm.
Oh, hang on, what are we going to do today?
Oh, well, with the gowns, I was thinking we've graduated to second year of Cambridge Breakfast.
Well, I think we might have just received our certificates as well from the management.
Oh, what does it say?
Oh, it's the director's review of the show. Must do better.
The cheek!